Welcome back at WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. It is not often around here that I put Cincinnati Bengals stuff on, but you know, I figured he was kind enough to send this to me once. He's never seen me in it because there's no way I would dare ever wear it when he was still the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, which felt like a long time because it was a long time, but it was a long time ago that he once sported the purple, and much like Anthony Weaver, who just came back to Baltimore this week and pulled out his old Ravens gear, Marvin's got some purple in the closet that he hasn't sent to me or forwarded to others. He's out there wearing burgundy and gold, which he wore for a very, very short time down at Redskin Park out in Arizona. He's backlit because there's so much sunshine where you live. Happy 20th anniversary, Marvin Lewis. It is good to visit with you. As always. And I wore this to sort of honor you a little bit, even though they're going to make fun of me.
Oh, Nestor, I appreciate it. It's, you know, as we know, from the ashes, Brett, from the ashes.
How are you? How's COVID? What's going on? I mean, I think the last time I even text with you was when there was like an outbreak with Herm and where you were. You're interviewing for jobs. You're running all over the place. And I'm calling for 20th anniversary. But how are you doing physically? How's the program? I mean, this thing sort of has wrecked everything except apparently the NFL where they're going to play next week. And things are just fine there, right?
Well, they were able to they can afford to keep getting new players and enough of them. So, but no, everything is good. Actually, our players started back here working out yesterday as Monday. And, you know, so hopefully they'll be able to get to spring football at some point here. You know, it's just been a change for everyone. These players have, as collegiate players, have really been through hell. And, you know, the everyday testing and everything that we've had to do. And, you know, they've had to kind of persevere through it. So, you know, that's just been part of their plight. They'll always look back on this time of their life and remember this.
Well, I mean, I guess there's a point, and I've said this kind of to Mike Smith in jest to say, well, it's a good time for you to check out of the NFL if this is the way it's going to roll. I saw the DeCostas press conference on Monday. He said Sunday was the first day since July he hasn't had a COVID test just to come to the office because that's where they sort of worked from, and everybody was tier one and all of that. I would think at the collegiate level, it wasn't much different, right? I mean, other than responsibilities and pay grade and all that stuff in Cincinnati, but coaching and playing and being a part of this and learning and on an educational campus and all of that going on, this has been just as weird. To be working right now is to be weird in football or in sport, right?
Yeah, it's been weird. And you know, I think, as we know, those of us outside of it, you know, appreciate the fact that we did have some football, gave people something to do, something to watch. So that was great. But I think we're all, you know, the wearing the mask and everything. I have this thing around my neck so we can just put it up anytime you leave your office or go outside or somebody comes in your office. You know, we got to mask up. And we're reminding our players constantly about masking up. And so we're just in a different place. I think we all learned a lot of things through this. And it's been, you know, what a growing and learning experience for everyone. And seems like a long time since you were out here visiting. But no, I haven't been anywhere other than on two charters and then a charter down to, unfortunately, Kevin Green's memorial service. But those things are everybody's doing Zoom now, just like we are here.
Well, yeah, man, and it's good to see you, even if you are backlit. you know, I busted out the jersey today, and I said, you know, when Marv comes on, you sent me this beautiful turtleneck. Unfortunately, it was you sent it for me to root for you against Pittsburgh on the game that we don't talk about in Cincinnati, and they probably don't talk about it much in Pittsburgh anymore either. But the memories of all of this, right? Like, a couple of weeks ago, I was going through my stuff. It's the 30th anniversary of my radio career. It's the 20th anniversary of the Super Bowl coming up. We've all been sort of trapped at home. You know, I've changed my brand to Baltimore Positive, and, you know, I've had the mayor on this week. I'm having county executives on next week. I've had the Speaker of the House. You know, all these different kinds of guests that we've had, and there's just something special about that team and that time that somebody like you even speaks to more than Brian or Goose, people that weren't there when you came off the boat, right? And we just lost Greg Montgomery. You know, we've lost some people from that period of time in history. And I've gone back and found pictures. We lost T-Bone last week, Tony Jones. And I knew I had a picture of him with Denver. And look at this picture I found at the bottom of a pile. This is a picture that was given to me, and it's unique, Marv, because, like, this brings the pieces together, right? Because the facility, right. If you see the facility where Brian is, this is the exact shot of where the Mayflowers were when the team, well, this way, left town, this way, left town. And someone gave this to me 19 and a half years ago, and it was at the bottom of a pile. It was never on the wall. I don't remember seeing it. And I pulled it out, and I'm like, damn if that thing doesn't find me a week before the anniversary of his death, and Purple Rain, and Larry King died the other day. Larry King called my book that you were instrumental a good read. And I found the clip of that from 20 years ago. All this has happened in 4 weeks. And I think about 20 years ago, and I think about that night, and all I think about is how much fun it was. That, like, how everyone was smiling in every picture. And it's not always fun, is it, having done this in Cincinnati for a long time and trying to do it again? It's really hard to do.
Yeah, winning is fun, and we don't get to appreciate it long enough. I think that's the one thing. I think coaches in the business, we remember losing too much. We carry losing with us too much, and we're not appreciative enough on winning. And, you know, when you go through the championship round like that happened last Sunday, and you feel those coaches where they all fell off that doggone cliff, you know, the coaches for the two teams that didn't win and move on. And everybody falls off that cliff at some point during their season. But you got to really take a step back and appreciate for, you know, Sean McDermott, all the great things that happened this year with their football team, you know, and how well they did a lot of great things. And you got to understand that. And, you know, and that's hard when you expect to win and everything, and then it doesn't happen, break your way. You know, it's painful, but you got to take a step back and realize all the positive things you accomplished.
Well, 20 years ago, a lot of positive things were accomplished. And I guess for somebody like you, I mean, you were on a trajectory of a career in Tampa Bay and Buffalo. Other teams were calling 20 years ago. You wind up in Cincinnati. But for every person, now Jack's going to be joining me, Mike Smith, to have that success at that point for those couple of weeks probably put you on a completely different trajectory of your life than maybe not winning and it not working out and getting a college job and just winding up in a whole different place. That once you win, especially for coaches, and I would say that for any of the younger coaches anytime. And I think Andy Reid's tree is now enormous. And obviously Johnny, you mentioned Sean McDermott, but where you were at that point from Cower to Ted and finding the franchise and then being on that bus, you, me, and Marcus on that bus after the parade. And I got the parade video finally, Marvin. I'm going to show that to you before this is over with. But for your career and what that meant those couple of weeks and those players, and I know how hard you recruited Goose and you recruited Woodson and, you know, what it meant to draft Boulware for you. And you and I were sitting out at Pertucci's and drawing up plays on with crayons, you know, literally that once that happens for you, it really it changed your life, didn't it?
Oh yeah, it does change your life. But I think you mentioned the important part, and that's those players. I think the special bond that they had, how important it was to them day in and day out. And the fact that how they grew together, you know, they grew up together. Ray from the first pick in the 96 draft, and how much he continued to grow. And the fact when we added Rod Woodson to the football team, McCreary to already the great pros that were already there, and Burnett, you know, Rob Burnett just gets, you know, how much he meant to the football team all the time. We added Goose, we added Rod. And then later with Shannon Sharp, you gave Ray an opportunity. This is another special guy that really helped empower Ray that it was okay to be special. And I tell that to people all the time that, you know, Ray was such a 20 years old when he walked in that building, how he became a leader right away. But you need others to help you light that path. And those guys help Ray light that path.
Well, Ray, you know, stands in the middle of all of this, and I find it fascinating this week. Like, I hadn't watched the Buccaneers play much since your pal was running them down there, and Smitty was there coaching. And you know, I don't say I slept on Tom Brady as they were beating the lesser lights in December, but I put the television, I'm like, oh, there's Ndamukong Suh, there's Antonio Brown, there's Gronkowski. Hell, they've imported half the team, right? And I think about that, but I go back to our team, and I think about Sam Adams, and I think about McCrary, and I think about Goose, and I think about, I mean, Woodson, I mean, you and Ted and David and Art, I mean, everybody got in on recruiting all of them, even in recruiting Brian to some degree, right?
Well, I think no doubt that I think there was a conversation before we had a home game against the Vikings there that David Modell and Brian Billy had on that field. you know, a few of us happened to notice that at some point that at the end of that season, but I think the part that you know, you kind of said there is with those guys. But I remember walking into Ozzie's office, and I'm not sure exactly the timing, but sometime in June or July after that period where you could sign veteran free agents, we signed Ben Coates and Sam Gash. And I remember telling Ozzie the defense got better that day because we added two guys who helped us make some first downs on offense, and Ben and Sam, and what great pros they were as well.
And great practice. I mean, guys that really knew the game, right? Guys that would challenge the defense during the week, right?
Yeah, there were guys that really, you know, helped mentor young players. And this is how pros do it. And that was important for the young guys that we had on defense for, as you mentioned, you know, Jamie Sharper, for Peter Boulware, Cornell Brown, Dwayne Starks, Chris McAllister, Kim Herring, all those guys who were young players on defense. That these pros like Corey Harris brought, Robert Bailey, James Trapp, all those guys that were, you know, that was the beautiful thing about that defensive football team, Larry Webster. We had about 16, 17 guys who felt like they were starting players on the defensive team. It was important to them. And that's why they were as good as they were.
Well, football's that way now, right? I mean, you're so multiple that, you know, you're not playing with 11 or 12 guys. I mean, not even then, but even more so now, right?
Well, I think now, unfortunately, the psyche of the player is different. It's more about me instead of us and we. And
oh, you've noticed too.
It's just different. And they want to know who's talking about them and who's liking them and all that dumb stuff that, to me, really doesn't matter. The only people that matter who likes you are the people sitting in this building. And that's what matters. So, but yeah, that it's just changed. There's more of an entitled society, I think, the way things are. And, you know, it'll never go back. But still, the best thing about the National Football League is the best football team gets to hoist that trophy at the end of the year.
Dude, I love when you go coach on me, man. I really do, because I don't get that much. When you give me the only people that need to love you are in this building. He's out in Arizona State. You know, I guess it's nice out there. The weather's lovely and all that stuff. And at least you got that going for you. But watching this thing down in Tampa, and there's not a time I land in Tampa, Marvin. I told Smitty this, where you see the stadium, you know, literally off the right side of the plane. If you're landing, coming in there on the Dale Mabry, that I don't think about that night. And I, man, there's so many memories, but when I have you here, it's even more intimate because, like, on that Tuesday night during the week, I went over to the Hyatt West Shore, and that was the night we watched film together, and you looked into my eyes, you turned the projector off, and as the projector turned off, you looked at me, you said, "They don't know how fast we are. There's no way we're going to lose." And I'm like, man, I had spent some time with you and Schwartz and coaches and people and hockey coaches and baseball. I don't ever remember a coach telling me before a game, "There's no way we're going to lose," other than you, other than once, and other than then. And I've been with you nights before games lots of times, and I don't think you have any idea how your team's going to play the next day or who's going to win or who's going to lose. But there was something about, I mean, you knew it, right? I mean, Smitty even mentioned it. He said, "Marvin knew we weren't going to lose." And I said, "He told you that too." How many people did you tell that to, Marv?
Well, when we got to, you know, I don't know if everybody remembers this. And I was one with Ray Lewis on his show on Saturday that we were traveling by bus down to the stadium downtown, the Camden Yards, to practice the whole week before because our place out in Owings Mills was frozen. So by the time we got to Florida and Tampa, and went to practice at South Florida, our guys were running around that we were worried. Brian was worried we were going to spend it all on the practice field because they were so excited to be in warm weather. And, you know, that was the big thing, you know, the schedule and everything that Brian had done, and the fact that we got prepared before we went to Florida, and then we were able to just get there and put the finishing touches on things. And our guys knew them better than they knew themselves. And, you know, and that's the way, you know, the way they played the game. You know, obviously they played the entire season that way. It was insulting for them to ever let anybody score. And they took that personal.
Marvin Lewis is here. He is in Arizona coaching college football these days. We'll get to the pro game and do all that. And I guess for the legacy of the team and the greatest defense ever and all of that stuff, you know, does that measure up when I say that 20 years? Because if you're not allowed to say it 20 years later, right, if you're not allowed to believe it or be it or statistically break it down, there's been no Miami Dolphins perfect team, you know, and I know Mercury Morris and those guys will bring that up. And obviously, whatever Tom Brady's doing next week in Tampa is unprecedented. But for that place and that time and that defense and for what you did, I don't know what offense in what era, you know, what, you know, legendary offensive team that you would say could match up, but where do you, knowing the history of football the way you do and that personnel and what you could do, that if you had that group of players in that era at that time, you felt like you could play against anybody anytime?
You know, you really felt like, and we actually discussed this with Ray because that was his question, and the thing is, the fact that we could be really flexible, that we could move a Corey Harrison and play the dime linebacker, that Rod Woodson could play the nickel. We had Robert Bailey. So we had a lot of flexibility with our personnel. And in today's football, you would need that. And we had that with James Trapp, who I mentioned. We had these other guys with great speed and athleticism and ability to give us multiple things. We could move Peter Boulware around. We could do multiple things. We had big tackles. We had little tackles. You know, we had a lot of different guys, Keith Washington, these guys who filled certain roles that we had on that football team that made a huge difference for us all the time when we had game planning, you know. So that would be the thing. But the thing that I think everybody needs to hold on to, the fact these guys in a 16-game season gave up 16 touchdowns and in 20 games gave up 17 touchdowns. So to me, that's the thing, that over 20 games, you know, they allow just 17 touchdowns, that sets up a standard that you know, is very special.
Did not give up a touchdown in the Super Bowl either, even though that seven's on the side of your ring, right?
Yeah, no, gave up just one touchdown in the four playoff games.
Marv, I know you don't get to see these old pictures, but this is you and me. This is at the victory party that I believe you snuck me in the side door for that one. So I definitely want to give you some credit for that as well. And I, you know, I found all these old pictures, and I've been kind of sharing them out. Here's you and me, and this is kind of a cool one. Can you see that one from the barn there?
Yeah, 97. Huh?
97, Orlando Pace. This was literally you coming out. And I think if I make the picture a little bit bigger, you can see it says Goose here, and you had Burnett and Frederick up here. You're literally, you know, writing down the starting lineup. This is the day we drafted Boulware, Herring, and Sharper. Literally the day after that. And that, you know, that's April 97. We didn't win the Super Bowl until January of 01. I mean, that's 3 years and 9 months later. Like, it felt like a minute, right? No wonder you and I, but it was 4 years later, even from the confidence level that you felt, that quite frankly, and this is another picture that I know you're going to love here. Remember, we got to come back and ring the victory bell there. And I know Leslie Schauer is going to appreciate that we were drinking some Coors Light there that night. And I found one other one here, and this is me doting on you. And this is you looking at me basically saying, I told you we were going to win a Super Bowl. Look at you. Look at that look on your face, right?
Yeah. That been must have been one of them Monday afternoon conversations. You're like, what the hell?
What did he say? So, you know, Flynn lost the videotape. I think you knew this, right? Do you have any, what stuff do you keep from that era? I've been in your home, and the only thing I remember about your home that I came home and told my wife, other than just you have a nice home and the wine was good and all that, I said, he's got a giant Rod Woodson jersey. Like, you know, Woodson was your guy. You told me you were going to bring him in. He was going to play safety. He was in San Francisco. And, you know, I go back to thinking about all those moments, but the parade, man. I remember being with you on the bus after the parade. And is that the only parade you've ever ridden in or been around or been like, have you ever done any other Macy's or anything crazy parade wise in your life?
No, that's the only time I think I've been in a parade is that particular time. But
when you think about it, that's the most surreal thing. And I've done it twice now. The second time was kind of frightening, to be honest with you. But the first time was such, like, when I put the video on, you're going to feel the hair on the back of your neck rise, because like, there, you played a lot of games and all that, but it's only been one parade, man. It's a really weird thing, a parade, I thought.
Yeah, no, it is. It's the fact that just the whole thing is just it's too good to be true. You know what I'm saying? I think getting back to Owings Mills that night afterwards, you know, or the afternoon, whenever it was, when we finally got home and all the people waiting there at Owings Mills and just the whole thing, but getting up on that stage with everyone, and it's just an incredible feeling. It's something no one can ever take away from you.
Well, Marvin, I got this video here, and I went through it for when the trophy comes and how many people were there and how wet it was. You know, and I talked to Goose about this because some of the kids were 3 or 4 years old. Your boy has a memory of this and has spent a life literally in football, right? I mean, he was standing on this stage. And if he were here right now, he'd probably tell me it was the most incredible thing he's ever seen, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it, that he was – we took him out of school and he came with us to the parade, and it's just a great memory for him and somebody that's been in coaching, and it's been part of training camp and out in Westminster and everything at Western Maryland. He's been a part of that. Look at Corey Harris's blonde hair, you know. but those guys are just special, man.
Marvin, I got to talk to you about the current stuff here. I mean, you're at Arizona State. I guess no secret you were interviewing. People said to me, what's up, Marvin? I'm like, I had dinner with Marvin. We did not talk about him getting a head coach. It's not what we talk about. So I guess publicly you've been running around thinking this, thinking that. Teams are – but more than just you not getting a job, the story now is – back to where we were 20, 30 years ago. I guess it's not changed where we've always been. But some thoughts about the hiring process and what you now see as a senior guy. And I remember getting on a bus 5 minutes after that video was taken, where I think there were some thoughts that you were going to be the Tampa coach or the Buffalo coach. You end up being a Cincinnati coach. Now you have put your hat out to be a coach again. There's only 32 of the jobs, right? So it is what it is. But I think we look at where the league wants to go and what the right thing to be doing is. This smells fishy on the outside to all of us that monitor it. I can only imagine on the inside, where it's so important to you, to your family, to what you want to do, and to what you're qualified to do. All of you are qualified to do that. It's difficult.
Well, I think it's two things for me, Nestor, maybe three. Number one is I did miss coaching, and that's why I did the position here a year ago at Arizona State. But now I'm back into the advisory role. And, back into my little cubbyhole kind of thing. But, you know, and I got to find some relevance. But I'm here to support Herm and Antonio Pierce, who will take over as coordinator. And that's my job and my role now in the offensive coaches, to help mentor these guys. But that was my thing. I didn't win a Super Bowl as a head coach. That's why you coach. I won the Super Bowl as a coordinator with Brian. And Brian did an outstanding job. And I was fortunate to be there with him. But I wanted to, if you come back, that's why you come back. You come back to win the Super Bowl. And I think otherwise, there's no reason for me to come back. But the other part of that is to help mentor and bring on other minority coaches, the coaches that I think deserve the opportunity that I was afforded, and help them ascend to that role. And whatever role, whatever vision they have for their career, their future. And that's the disappointing part, that haven't been able to put those people in place to have those opportunities. You know, there were certain steps that supposedly you got to take along the way, but it sees through this cycle again that people are skipping the steps. But yet other coaches are asked, well, you didn't do this. You didn't call the plays. You didn't call the defense. So they're overlooked in opportunities. And I don't think that's quite right. And hopefully they don't get frustrated. Hopefully they keep doing what they do, just keep doing it better, better and better. And when they get their opportunity, they'll be that much more prepared for it. And it'll open up more and more doors.
You know, I don't share too much of our private conversation, but I will share one of these because I don't remember exactly what it was. It was maybe the first time or the second time or maybe the third time you were going to leave Cincinnati, because they always seem to happen right before a Ravens game at the end of the year. And I remember you saying to me at one of those points, you're like, and I probably said something like, hey, are you afraid of losing your job or whatever? And you're like, man, we get smarter. We just keep getting smarter. We just keep stacking up things we learn along the way. And Marv, I think that was 10 years ago that you said that to me, right? There is a point in all of this, and we now have a 78-year-old president, right, who's been through senators, lost wives, lost children. There's all of that, right? You just had a beautiful new grandchild born in the last 48 hours, and I appreciate your love to the family and all. But having gone through ups, downs, hardships, you see my wife bald twice, right? Other people, you've introduced us to survivors in the world. To have that sort of experience at the helm. And I know it's sexy to put a 38-year-old young next guy. You were that guy at one point. We all were, right? Even though I don't color my hair, Marvin, don't pick on me like that. But there is some wisdom in this, that as you get older, you're not washed up, especially apparently as hungry as you are to want to go back and win, because, you know, it's not about money or lifestyle or any of that stuff for you. Clearly at this point, there's a drive in you to do it and a wisdom that only having coached in Cincinnati for 2 decades and in Baltimore and Pittsburgh and all these other places that you can have that kind of perspective.
Right. There's no doubt about it. The fact that, you know, day in and day out, when you do that job, you learn from it day in. And if any coach ever asks me, what am I going to expect as the head coach? And I used to tell him tomorrow's going to be better, because there's going to be things that happen each day that you weren't prepared for, but you'll get through it. And just know that the next time around, that the next day will be better, and you'll smooth out all the peaks and valleys of things. And that's the important part of this job.
Maybe one day there'll be like a plague that starts in China that comes over. We'll have to play football with masks, right? I mean, can you imagine you and I sitting around over a sandwich in Owings Mills talking about that?
Well, there's no question. I don't think any of us saw this coming. I mean, you know, the last time I had a meal in a restaurant was in March, and I was back in Cincinnati for some meetings. So it's been a while, and hopefully by the fall we can get back to some normalcy. I don't know when it's going to happen, but hopefully by the fall we can at least get back to some normalcy in our lives and understand it.
Well, I hope you get your dream job. And if you're not already in, dude, I've seen your gig. You got a pretty good gig. There's a lot of guys that would like your gig.
I'm fortunate to be doing what I'm doing. And, but you know, it's that point of the year now where, you know, I'm just trying to help other people get placed, you know, spend a lot of time talking to coaches, helping them get placed. Had 2 phone calls since we've been on this call.
All right. Well, I got to go place Edwin Mulitalo in the middle of the parade. I'm glad you placed some time for me in your life. It's always great to be a part of your life and have some fun. And congratulations on new granddaddy status. Wash your hands, wear a mask, stay safe out there so I can come lay at the pool at some point out there. I have a feeling it's going to be nicer there next month than it's going to be here. So
I showed you the snow this morning when I left the house at 5. Up there where we live, but hopefully this will all pass through this week. But it was amazing yesterday when you see snow on the mountains in Phoenix. That's something else. So
means the apocalypse is nigh. Be well, Marv. We'll always have right. January 28, 2001. And hey, tell Peg that, you know, I finally wore the Bengals thing. And I tell I see people around town, I tell them that's an Oriole. That's B for Baltimore is what that is.
Well, we know it's not quite. Well, I guess you came back on the Orioles. You know, you were a little down on the Orioles for a little bit. I guess you're back.
What?
I said at one point you were a little bit down on the Orioles.
A little bit. Really? I'm just trying to make sure they don't wind up in Nashville. All right. So
I feel you.
Hey, hey, man, I see where you're sitting. You're right near Coach Kush's office. I interviewed Coach Kush in Sun Devil Stadium one time overlooking the bowl there. So, you know.
Yeah, well, we got the back. We're on the backside of the stadium. The new football facility is actually on the backside. It's kind of right where the old visiting locker room was, right there where the visiting locker
room. One of the first times you and I were ever in the same room together, you didn't know it at the time, was when you were in a Super Bowl in that stadium. So there, yeah, have at it. There's a bad memory for you, but I gave you a good memory. You were happier That's winning right. with us. It wasn't That's your time, sure. as Ray Lewis would say. Love you, Marv. Be good, buddy.
All right, man. Good to see you. Tell Jen and I.
Of course. Marvin Lewis, there he goes. The man, the myth, the legend out in Arizona State. Special senior advisor. I'll let you know to whatever. We'll find that out. Advisor right. to me. Sure. Still a senior advisor whatever. To me. Still coaching me up 25 years later. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.